Our scripture lesson today is from the Gospel of Luke. I don't know if you remember, last Easter it was from the Gospel of Mark, and the Easter before was the Gospel of John. So the lectionary is just kind of taking us through the Gospels each Easter. So this is the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter, reading verses 1 to 12. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly, two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in, and he saw the linen clothes by themselves. And then he went home amazed at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. It was really moving to me just then when Casey and Kenzie and Mackenzie told their stories, when they did their creed that they had written individually and then collaborated on. And that's the way in the Christian church that we share our faith with each other and we build up the faith, each other's faith, is by telling just not just our story, but the story of the gospel, the story of God in this world. And that's how we remember our story, and that was not an idle tale. But we have this situation in this gospel today where the very first time the witnesses to the resurrection, the first witnesses to the resurrection, Mary Magdalene and the women that were with them, the first time they tell it, they tell that story, the men who hear them decide it's an idle tale. Now, I don't know if you can remember a time in your life when you thought you heard an idle tale. And the only one I could think of was when I was a Boy Scout. I was in the ninth grade going to the 447, the scout troop at First United Methodist. And I, as a ninth grader, was assigned a Cub Scout troop to kind of be the older scout to. And it was at the Church in the Pines in Laurel Hill, my home church. And while I would go over there on a Wednesday afternoon and kind of work through the Weeblo book with the Cub Scouts. And there was four or five boys in their little blue uniforms with their little blue beanie caps. And one of them was the son of the pastor of the church. Bill Massey was the pastor. And Will Massey, his son, was one of the Cub Scouts then. And I guess Will was probably in sixth grade. And so I worked with them on a particular Wednesday afternoon. I worked with them for a couple hours, probably, you know, till about 5 o'clock. And I remember it was the spring, and it was still light. And when I got home, I was out in the backyard throwing a baseball with some of my friends when my sister Kay came out of the house and came running over to me and said, "Jim, did you hear that Will Massey was killed today?" And I said, "Kay, no." You know, I thought it was an idle tale because Kay was, she loved musicals. And so she would like dance around the house, and one day she would be Julie Andrews singing, "The Hills Come Alive with the Sound of Music." And she would be My Fair Lady. She'd be all, you know, and so she kind of had these fantasies that she did. And I had just seen Will Massey just an hour ago. And I'm like, "Hey, that's not, that, you've got that wrong. I just saw him. I just left him." And she said, "Well, he just, what my mom told me was that he was killed." And it happened to be true. I thought it was an idle tale. I thought she was just making it up. But he had gotten home from the Cub Scout thing and been out on Ida Mill Road, and he and a neighbor on bikes were throwing eggs at each other. And I don't know if he turned to avoid an egg or turned to throw an egg, but he turned into the path of a car and was killed. And it shook me. And it was the first time I had to deal with death as a young person, and somebody that I knew very well. And it made me also realize that my sister, I owed her an apology for thinking that was an idle tale. So that's kind of how I responded to this text. I immediately thought about that idle tale. And I think because it's a Resurrection Sunday, I also thought about Will Massey. And so I wonder why we have this notion to not believe the tales that are told in the Bible sometimes. That we have these guys who were followers of Jesus Christ, when they were told that he was resurrected, did not believe it. And so I want to suggest to you is because in our culture, we, there are two competing stories. And we live with one of them most of the time, and then the other story is the Easter story. So let's do story number one. Story number one, you could say it a lot of ways, but in our culture and in their culture, dead stays dead. That doesn't change. Dead stays dead. So when these women are going to the tomb, to this man they loved and thought was the Messiah, think about where they were going. Maybe, you know, like sometimes when we go to the funeral parlor with an open casket, it's just to see their face one more time. Even though he was dead, they just wanted to see him one more time. But they also had the spices to embalm him with. And you think they're going early in the morning, it's dark, and they know there's a huge stone over the mouth of the tomb, but they're going anyway. Isn't that amazing that they think maybe somehow somebody will be there to let them in or something? But they are going believing that he's dead. They are looking for the dead in the land of the dead. They are, they're going to find Jesus in the graveyard where other dead folks are. That's what, and so dead is dead. That is what they're thinking. And they just want to give him some nice little embalmment with the spices they have available to him. So they're in the graveyard. And that is that thing, is dead happens and dead doesn't change. And we know that. And it's cold and it's smelly. And it's dark, but that is death. And that's what happens. Dead stays dead. And sometimes we believe that in life too. That things that are dead don't ever come back. Marriages that are dead don't come back. Relationships that are dead are dead. And so dead is dead. And that's a story. And that's the story they went there with. And then they ran smack dab into the second story. And the second story is, if the first story is that dead stays dead, the second story is that dead does not stay dead. Something has changed. If you look at verse 5, the women, why they were perplexed. Okay, so they were perplexed when dead wasn't dead anymore. They were perplexed. They didn't understand. And while they were perplexed by this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them, and the women were terrified. So they went from perplexed to terrified, bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" They were looking for the dead among the dead, really, is what they thought. But the angels were saying, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen." And this is the key part. Remember the story he told you. And it's the remembering of that that brings them from believing in the first story, dead is dead, to the second story, dead does not stay dead. That is what has happened to them. So they, verse 8, they said, remember how he told you while he was in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and on the third day rise again. And then they remembered. And they says, then they remembered his words. And that's when they changed from the first story of dead is dead to the second story, dead does not stay dead. And all of a sudden they realize, wow, he did say that. So they go and tell the apostles these two stories. The first thing, they probably, you know, they didn't quote them when they get there, just they told them what had happened. So they probably started at the beginning, we didn't think, all we were going to do was trying to anoint his body. We didn't think he was, you know, going to be gone. And we got there and the tomb's open, and then we go in there and he's not there. And then these angels are there and they say, why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. Remember what he said in Galilee, that he would be betrayed into the hands of sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise. And so they tell us, and so they say, our story was dead is dead, dead stays dead, it's reality, it never changes. The angel story is that dead isn't dead. Remember the story Jesus told. And that's when you have this amazing thing of all the people that should have believed this, they didn't believe it. Do you remember? It keeps coming back to me when Peter's confession in the 8th chapter of Mark, where Jesus says, who do people say they am? And they say, John the Baptist, Elijah, come back and all this. And then they say, but who do you say that I am? And all of a sudden the cogs twist in his head and it locks in. He goes, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, blessed are you. And then he begins to tell them what? That the Son of Man must suffer and die and be betrayed into the hands of sinners and then die and be raised again. And Peter says, no, you're wrong about that. And Jesus says, what? Get behind me, Satan. That's what he says. But he's been telling them, and they don't remember. Now, to be fair, they didn't know any of this was going to happen. I think this is the biggest thing I've learned this year trying to teach Bible studies and stuff, is that we've heard these stories our whole lives, and we kind of think, well, you know, everybody knows he's going to get crucified, you know. And they didn't know he's going to be crucified. They thought on Palm Sunday, they thought he was being lauded, that he was going to be, you know, everybody was bringing him in and saying, Hosanna. They didn't know he was going to be crucified at the end of the week. Jesus knew, but they didn't. And so they didn't have time to, like, prepare a tomb, you know. They didn't have time to, like, okay, let's get ready and figure out. They were just reacting. And, you know, it was really, really traumatic. They probably had some PTSD watching their best friend get sliced up like that. So you don't blame them for not remembering. And the women didn't remember either until the angel said, remember what he said. Remember the story of Jesus that he said this. And so they say it, but they don't believe him. So why not? Why didn't they believe him? All right, a couple things. First, and I hate to say this, sometimes we don't believe in the good story. We always believe the bad story. Part of the reason they didn't was because they were women. And part of the reason is that they just didn't trust the source. They thought, like I thought with my sister, you know, she's flighty, you know, has a fantasy life, you know. In doing the research for this, I found out that in the last 100 years in the United States, you were not a credible witness in this country in a court of law if you were not a white male. Did you know that? That if you're a person of color or you're female, at one point in the last 100 years, you were not a credible witness. You had to be a white male. That is how long this lasted. So 2,000 years ago, they were not credible witnesses. And so that was part of it. But I think there's more to it. I think deep down, all of us kind of have this hunch about believing in story number one, dead stays dead. You know, it's just too much to hope for. We think, you know, bad things happen, people don't change, marriages don't get back together, you know, people, once they're bad, they stay bad, you know, once they go to prison, they're going to be bad forever. That's what we're stuck in that first story, dead stays dead. And the story of the resurrection is story number two, that dead does not stay dead. that there is hope. There is resurrection power to change and to be different. And darkness can become light. And who we are can change. But most of us want to stay with that. And I think maybe the third reason they didn't believe is just too good to be true. You know, you just don't want your heart broken again by believing in something this good. So they don't. And they think it's an idle tale. Can you risk believing in story number two, that dead does not stay dead? And we have the same choice today. Is this, as we think about the resurrection, is it an idle tale? Is it just one of these stories that Christians like to say at Easter or at funerals? Is death the last word? Is violence the last word? Is hatred the last word? Is intimidation the last word? Is political power the last word? We have that choice to make. We have the choice on Easter Sunday to decide if we are open to believing in story number two, that dead does not have to stay dead. And here's where it gets personal. All of us have essential people in our lives who have died. Essential people. People we love. People, it still hurts that they're not here. If you look at the back of the bulletin, all of those names that are in memoriam, my dad, so your family, my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, all of those people, that's where this gets personal. If you believe in story number two, that dead does not stay dead, that there is resurrection, that death starts to work backwards, and that as Jesus came out of the tomb, it was all of us coming out of the tomb. And that's the other part, is that we know that's our future too. We know that dead does not stay dead. Will Massey does not stay dead. And that's what's at stake here on Christmas Day. It also means that marriages that are broken can become alive again. That relationships that are dead can be healed and restored and made vital again. That returning citizens that come back from prison can be restored and have new life again. That there can be, that dead doesn't stay dead. That is the message of Easter. And how we get to that belief, if you're having trouble believing that today, how we get to that belief is by doing what our confirmation class did this morning, is by remembering our story, remembering the story of Jesus, remembering who God is and God's power. And one of the best ones, and I'm going to close with this. Nadia Bolz-Weber is a Lutheran pastor, and one of her best friends died in 2019. And she was asked to do the funeral for Rachel Held Evans. And I'm going to read you her closing of her funeral homily, okay? And it's a page, so it's going to take a while, but it's so good. And it tells the story. It remembers the story that takes us from believing that dead is dead to dead does not stay dead, because we remember the story. And here's what she says. The empty tomb says, this is not the end of the story. A story about God walking around like he definitely didn't understand our rules. A story about God thinking it's okay to have dinner with sex workers and Sadducees, ideally at the same time. A story about God going around forgiving the sins of basically everyone without even going through the proper verification process. And then touching both lepers and Roman soldiers as if they were also holy. A story about how we humans thought this much indiscriminate mercy didn't sound right to us. And this much mixing of people who shouldn't mix didn't sound right to us. And this much grace didn't sound right to us. So we had to try and destroy the story Jesus was telling about who we were and who God is. And so we hung him on a tree just outside of town. And how there he took all of it, all our broken junk, all our sin and shame, and the need to blame others, and all our precious verification processes, and our self-righteous garbage, and he took it all into his broken body, and from the wooden throne, the King of Kings proclaimed his judgment. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they're doing. Forgive them. They don't yet know their real story. And how 3 days later, while it was still dark, death was already being defeated, and Mary stood weeping. And this story still isn't over. And we know it's not the end because we are still being caught up into it. Mary Magdalene's life, my life, your lives, we are all fodder for God's really, really, really long memoir of how God loves humans. The love that saturates our grief doesn't just stop, because tombs are real, but they are not the most real thing, which means that death might be the enemy, but it cannot defeat the story of the gospel. In other words, the resistance is winning, my friends. Nothing can stop it. And while it may still be dark, the light is breaking through, and the darkness cannot, will not, shall not overcome it. We're going to approach this meal now of the body and blood of Christ. And one of the reasons we do that on Easter Sunday is that we need strength to believe something this good, to believe this story, that death doesn't stay dead, that death can become life. And so it's not just that you are having a symbol here, but it actually, because you're taking it, it has this mysterious power, just like the bread and the juice nourish you, that your spirits will be nourished and strengthened. And whatever you have on the line about resurrection, whether it's a person, whether it's you, whether it's a relationship, this is the meal that will strengthen you to believe this. Death is not the last word. Violence is not the last word. Hatred is not the last word. Money is not the last word. Intimidation is not the last word. Political power is not the last word. Condemnation is not the last word. No, each of them are left like rags in a tomb. And from the tomb arises Jesus, alive. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Let's pray together. Lord, we confess that so often we believe story number one, that things don't change and that death is death and it's dark and it's just the way it is. And there is some comfort in being a realist and having an attitude where you're not ever disappointed again. But you overcame the grave and you rose. And in that rising, it gives us hope for our rising, for our friends' rising, for Will Massey's rising, for our family's rising, for all other things that seem dead and broken to be healed and strengthened and to become alive again. So use this communion, use this body and blood to help us to be able to be strengthened in our spirit, that we would know that death is not the last word. In Jesus' name, amen.